Good morning. Welcome to Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City, Minnesota. Our phone number is 320-629-3683. Our email address is zionpinecity@gmail.com. We have a website, zionpinecity.org, and we have a Facebook page. We also have a YouTube channel, Glenn Kleppe, which has services for the last several years. You can pick a date, and they're all out there. We have worship at our church at 9 o'clock Sunday morning and 7 o'clock Wednesday evening. Everyone is welcome. And this year, we're doing Vacation Bible School from July 17th through the 20th. It's God's Living Water is the theme of our Bible school. It's Monday through Thursday evenings. Supper is at 5:30, and the Vacation Bible School itself from 6 o'clock till about 8:15. Everyone is welcome. Please give us a call if you have any questions about Bible school or anything else for that matter. Today is Proper 9 in the church calendar, and those are the texts we'll be using. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For our confession time this morning, I'll be reading to you part of the section on confession from Luther's Small Catechism. The first question, what is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution. That is forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself. Not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. What sins should we confess? Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts. Which are these? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? Take a moment to consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments and where you have sinned against those around you. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning for Proper 9 is from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 145, the first 14 verses. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words, and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling, and raises up those who are bowed down. Our epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 25 through 30. At that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you've noticed, but what we plan isn't always what we do. Maybe that's not true for you, but I know that it's true for me, and I'm thinking it's true for just about everybody listening here today. We plan things out, and our intentions are good, but in the end, things don't work out according to plan, so to speak. Why not? Why can't we just carry out our plan? Wouldn't life be simpler if we just did every time? Certainly, sometimes we are unable to do things the way we planned. Perhaps physically, we're not strong enough, or we don't have enough endurance. Maybe we're lacking some innate ability that is needed to finish things. Like you, many times my plans are foiled by a lack of time. Do you remember last fall? I had quite a bit of work to do before winter came, but then we had a pretty good snowfall, and it never went away. Those things that I had planned to do before winter remained undone. I ran out of time. There are only 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week. And of course, whether we like to admit it or not, sometimes our plans don't get finished because of a poor effort. We lack the drive to get started, or get discouraged, or get distracted by something that seems to be more fun or more interesting, and we don't put the effort into our plan that it needs. Many plans fail because of a lack of effort. I also think that sometimes our plans fail because of other people. We're going along just fine, finishing things up, and somebody comes along who asks us for help, or wants a question answered, or has to tell us a fishing story that goes on and on and on. We would be just fine, and our plan would be finished, but those other people came in and turned us aside, and our plan fails. Paul writes about a failed plan in our epistle lesson today. Actually, he writes about more than just a failed plan. He writes about a lifetime of failed plans, one after the other. He talks about being habitually and perpetually unable to do what he's planned to do. And what is it that he fails at? Paul says that he is unable to follow the law of God. Why can't Paul carry out the law? Paul even says that he loves the law and he hates sin, which is breaking the law. He wants to follow the law. I would say that for Paul, it's a strong desire in him to follow the law of God, and yet he's unable to do that. As hard as he tries, he fails time and again. He has desire and not ability or endurance or will. Paul is so frustrated with his inability to keep the law that he refers to it as a war that is being waged within him. He badly wants to keep the law, and yet he keeps failing. It's as if he is totally unable to keep the law of God. He blames the sin within him, which, of course, we all have. Paul, having struggled with this problem for much of his adult life, finally just calls himself a wretched man. Who will save me? He asks. Certainly you know that we all fight that war. We want to keep the law of God, and yet we don't. You know what it is within you that's the biggest struggle against God's law. For many people, it's anger. They'd rather not be angry with people that they love, or people that they don't love, for that matter. They don't know. They know that when they're angry, they aren't efficient. They don't do the things that they should be doing because their anger gets the best of them. Yet they still get angry. Some people get angry all the time. Maybe that's you. Some people fight that battle with hatred. They know that God tells them that they should love everybody. And most people even agree with that assessment. Yet we know people who say stupid things and do mean things. We know people whose worldviews are entirely different than ours, and they're always shooting their mouth off. We know people that block the aisles at Walmart and let their dogs poop in our yards. They make it so hard to love them, so easy to hate them. The hatred just wells up inside. Maybe that's you. For some people, the sin is greed. When they think about it, they know that they have all that they need. God has been good to them. Yet they see the car parked in their neighbor's driveway, or they hear about a friend's vacation, or they know that if they try hard, they can double the profits of their business. When John Rockefeller was asked how much money is enough, he answered, "A little more." I don't think he fought a battle with greed. He just gave in. But many of us battle with greed. Maybe that's you. However we relate to the world around us, and whatever sins we're most likely to commit, we all fight that war with sin. Like the Apostle Paul, so often we don't do what we want to do, and we do the exact thing we don't want to do. To one extent or another, we all fight that war. As Martin Luther said, if you don't fight that war, you've lost it. Fortunately, in all of this, there is good news. There is good news that one day that battle will end for every one of us. Jesus came and took the punishment for our sins, for all the times that we've lost the battle. Jesus' death on the cross was full payment, and we are redeemed. Our sins are forgiven no matter how many battles we've lost. We're even forgiven for those times that we didn't fight very hard and just willingly gave in to sin. We're washed clean by the blood of Christ. Because we are clean, because we are covered in Christ's robe of righteousness, we are judged not guilty by God and given eternal life in heaven. In heaven, there is no sin. There's no battle to be fought. There's no sinful nature inside of us. There's no temptation to go against God's law because everyone keeps it perfectly all the time. It's paradise. It's a joyful existence with no conflict at all. Paul said, "Thanks be to God. We have the victory through Jesus Christ." But for now, we struggle. We don't do the things we want. We do the things we don't want to do. God uses those struggles to make us better. Every battle lost, we learn something about ourselves and our fellow human beings. God continually makes us a little more like Him, and struggle does that. God lets us struggle. Once a man found a butterfly that was still in the cocoon. He sat and watched that butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through a tiny hole at the end. Eventually, the butterfly seemed to stop making progress. It appeared as if he'd gotten as far as he could and could go no further. The man decided to help the butterfly. So he took a pair of scissors and carefully snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, but it had a swollen body and small, shriveled wings. The man continued to watch the butterfly because he expected that any moment the wings would enlarge and expand to be able to support the body, which would contract in time. Neither happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of its life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled wings. It never was able to fly. What that man did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle required for the butterfly to get through that tiny opening were God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings, so that it would be ready for flight once it achieved its freedom from the cocoon. Sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our life. God uses them for our good. Thanks be to God. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. In the day of my trouble I call upon you, for you answer me. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. Save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you ensure that the birds are fed and the lilies clothed in splendor. Deliver us from worry with the consolation that you know what we need, and that for Jesus' sake we are of much more value than they. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Kindle in us, Holy Father, the gifts of your Spirit, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, fill our homes with your word and grace. Be the companion of those who are alone. Strengthen husbands and wives. Bless parents as they teach their children. Let them all find refuge in you, and so preserve them from every plague and evil. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Ruler of the nations, until you at last cut off the war horse and the chariot forever, give our nation's leaders wisdom and integrity to preserve peace, promote what is good, and defend against violence and wickedness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, you set free those imprisoned on account of their sin, to bear their sentence as a joyful custody of hope. Remember the incarcerated. Preserve them from greater evil and foster in them repentance and trust in your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, be with all who are weary and heavy laden with the tribulations of this life. Give comfort to all those who suffer illness or other difficulties. We bring them before you now. Console them with the knowledge that your yoke is easy and your burden light, and that in you they will find rest for their souls. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God of Israel, you release your people from the waterless pit by the blood of your covenant. Bless all who receive Christ's body and blood with penitent hearts, trusting in your promises and a common confession of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks to you, O Lord, for all the saints who, by your grace, sought your kingdom and righteousness above all other treasures. We pray that you would preserve us also in repentance and Christ's righteousness until we stand before you in glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining me for Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Pine City, Minnesota. We're located at 410 Main Street South. Our phone number is 320-629-3683. Our email is zionpinecity@gmail.com, and our website is zionpinecity.org. Our worship services are at 9 o'clock Sunday morning, which is followed by an adult Bible class, and at Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. And don't forget our Vacation Bible School, which is July 17th through 20th. It begins with supper at 5:30, and the Vacation Bible School itself is from 6 o'clock to about 8:15. Our theme this year is God's Living Water, as we consider four accounts from God's Word that involve water and the grace of God, and we celebrate His grace among us. Children 3 through about 4th or 5th grade are welcome to come and participate in our Vacation Bible School. If you have any questions or concerns, give us a call, and we can answer your questions. Be happy to do it. May the Lord bless your week.